CliffCentral.com.
Yes, sir. Show is No Borders. Every Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. on CliffCentral.com. Those are the sounds of a young and upcoming musician. Like, she's amazing. Her name is Yvonne. The song is Siangena. Played for the first time in the world on CliffCentral.com. Just the access that we have for no reason enough to these amazing songs. Shout out to you, Yvonne. We're looking forward to more of your music, more projects coming out. So we're going to start the show off. We've got like a jam-packed lineup. So we're going to start the show off real quick with this. So there's an initiative called Own Your Crown. And it's an African women empowerment initiative. There's so many of these now. Who's empowering men? I wonder. I don't know who's empowering.
You're empowering each other there.
Hope so. But anyway, so yeah, Own Your Own Crown. And the founder is in the studio with us, the founder being Sophia Shtemere. And we've also got Rebecca Kaonerera Munyuki, who just goes by Rebecca Kano. I like that kind of part, yeah. Who is the CEO and founder of Rebecca Talks and an IT guru, I hear.
Oh, yeah. Background in IT.
Wow.
Love technology.
How did you, I wish I thought of that when I was in college. Because that's where all the money is.
Yeah.
Then maybe Gareth could have hired me to do your job, Palisa. Just saying. Okay. So first and foremost, let's talk about, Sophia, I mean, we've had you on the show a number of times, but we've never actually talked about Own Your Own Crown.
Yeah.
Own Your Crown, right?
Yeah. That's
OYC.
Yes. It's a women empowerment organization. I started it last
African year. Women empowerment, like, right?
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I started it last year in May because that's when we hosted our first event. What motivated me is from, you know, you do your research about women, how very little women are in senior positions in the corporate world. Women don't have access to some things compared to men in their businesses, let's say funding and so forth. So I was actually helping, it was my vision to help other women to excel in their career and business. As even though there are things that go on, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't give up on what we believe in our dreams. So that's what I came up with.
Very true. I mean, it's an amazing concept. And I know, you know, we've had, what is it in South Africa? We call it transformation in South Africa. Is it transformation? But that's more black and white thing. Mm. But we've also have affirmative action, you know, in a number of other regions.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I realize that historically women have been, what's the word?
Disadvantaged.
Thank you very much for correcting my English. I've been on radio for too long. Haven't been to school in a minute. So, I mean, women have been previously disadvantaged. However, I'm thinking to myself, okay, at this point in time, do you honestly think that, okay, for example, kids who are growing up, millennials, right?
Yeah.
So let's look at not 1986, because they said millennials are 1986. I don't believe that. Let's talk about 1990, right?
Yeah.
1990 going further. Do you think that men still have, or young boys, still have more opportunities in terms of they have more, more mentorship than women? Because I've never heard of any one of
men,
these sort
men.
Of things
for men.
For men. Like,
yeah,
I mean, I never went to any, you know, workshops that were particularly for dudes. Like, up until now. none. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm thinking to myself, oh, wait, come, we need to get your mic on. Wait, hold up. I got this.
Okay, what's up? What's up?
I got you. See, I got this.
How you doing?
I know how to work this. Politics is almost out of a job.
Like, I'm looking at you, and you're all by yourself. You're handling it. It's like you don't need this no more. I could actually just start a new show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can go to the bathroom.
Well, I came late, so I guess I figured that out.
What a fam. Yo, it's No Borders, cliffcentral.com. Your
What's
boy
Kamu
in. It's your boy KF. Reintroductions, we have Sophia Shtemere and Rebecca Kano.
Okay, great.
So the question is, and you know about Own Your Crown.
Yeah.
And it's one of the, you know, female initiatives that, you know, is trying to spur, you know, the movement of women, you know, to get into
100%.
Business,
yeah.
Opportunities, mentorship, role models.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
J. Cole said it very well. No role models. Because I do agree that we don't have role models. I'll speak in terms of Thabo Mbeki, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know how many times I've called that dude to try and get him on the show? Like, yo, man, what are you doing for people?
Yeah, exactly.
And
like,
these
know,
people are just like,
they make it very difficult.
And now he's what? He's the
chancellor.
And then he decides to speak about xenophobia, which is a good look, but it was very political. All I'm saying is that, you know, people like Thabo Mbeki would love him on the show, because what we want to know is, amongst all our African leaders, have you heard of anyone who's actually speaking to the youth as a mentor, not as a leader? Saying, yo, dudes, okay, this is how I did it. Your times have changed. This is how you need to do it. I think this movement is actually more among women than it is among dudes. We don't have mentors.
We've actually never had anybody on the show from a male perspective who comes on and actually discusses it. We were supposed to do a workshop, remember? We actually challenged somebody. I remember when we had one guest here, and we challenged them to come up with something that had to do with males. And that was even at a level of grooming.
Wow.
And just as grooming.
Yeah.
You know, so you can imagine, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, and for me, I think, not to take away from Own Your Crown.
Yeah.
I'm speaking to the men who are listening to the show right now. Yeah. And saying, yo, fam, come on now. You know what I mean? Holler at your boy. I'm only youth for 4 more years.
And that's it.
Help me out. Okay, so Rebecca is going to be one of the guest speakers at the Own Your Crown event, which is on?
Next week, Saturday.
Next week, Saturday. What's the actual date?
11 March.
11 March.
Mm.
And Rebecca, what are you going to tell these young ladies about?
Oh, I'm going to tell them a whole lot. But I think it's really about inspiring.
Okay.
Because everybody wants to go into business, but they go in with a lot of passion. Yeah. But they forget to have the right foundation in running a business. So your steam runs out, what do you do?
Yeah.
Your friends who promised to buy your product, now they don't buy anymore. Mm. Or they promised to be your support system, they're not there anymore. What do you do? How do you keep going?
That sounds very familiar to me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
And just getting also the right skills in place. You know, sometimes you forget about business acumen. You need to have that. You know, most of the guys beat us in the game when it comes to, say, women versus men in business. The guys do they do their research, and they're factual in the way they approach business. And sometimes as women, we go with a more emotional approach, and then we forget to actually put the right foundations in place.
True.
So it's just saying, when there is a workshop, when they're offering you training for financial literacy or whatever it is, even if it's not your forte and you hate it, just go for it, because you're better informed and you're more likely to succeed in what you do.
You know what I'm getting from Rebecca?
Yeah.
I'm not getting, you see, this is, for me, this is coming across as, you know, and people like to run away from gender roles. I believe in gender roles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying we should be limited to the roles, but the roles exist.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm going to be in the kitchen cooking and she's in the garden tilling.
Yeah.
Unless she actually likes gardening and I like cooking. I will ordinarily, as an African man, try and do the harder things to lessen the burden on her.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the way we're raised.
That's
but
pretty
not
much
to
it,
say that we are limited or you restricted to those to those roles, right?
Exactly.
And what I've realized, and I was telling a couple of female friends that, you know what? Being a young African man in our generation is not easy.
It's terribly difficult.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And first of all, a lot has changed, especially we've learned from our dads. A lot of, I'm not, love you dad, because my dad was actually present in life. But I mean, a lot of people grew up with absentee dads.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's really changed. I mean, I was at Kamu's house during the festive season.
Yeah.
He had a whole bunch of kids in the house. You know, he, you know, and we're uncles, and you know, we're there. Like, we're there for our kids. So, I'm not taking away from that there are a lot of single mothers going through a lot of hardships. But at the same time, men are going through a hard time because you're sitting there and you're thinking, at the end of the day, when things really hit the fan, you're like, snap, you got to have bread on the table.
You have to. And a lot of it now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So a lot of, in terms of business initiatives and our intuition as men, it doesn't come from an educated or informed perspective, the types that you guys are sharing at Own Your Crown and other such events. It comes from just a hustler mentality of, if I have to kill, I will kill. I gotta feed these kids.
100%, yeah.
I mean, and I'm telling you, Kamu, 20, 30 years from now, they're going to be bigger and more successful business women than they are businessmen.
100%.
Because women are actually learning more at this point in time. We're just trying to survive.
Exactly. Mm. We've actually just become survivalists.
Exactly.
But I'm a mother of 3 boys, you know, so, and so my passion is also to say, even if I succeed, I cannot leave my children behind. So whatever I'm learning and sharing with the other women, I'm making sure that my sons are also getting the same thing.
Yeah.
So I've got my 12-year-old. Sometimes you'll say, Mama, I've got a business plan. I want to wash the cars in the neighborhood, and it's going to be called Emax. And I'll be astounded at what is going on in this young man's brain. You know, but you'll be surprised at how young men are passionate. They can do it.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, it's really not as much as women will be ahead, but the generation we're raising right now, I don't think it's going to be an issue because they feel themselves they're actually on an equal level ground yeah. when it comes to men and women. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it will be that kind of discussion. It's really about how do you collaborate more, depending on your market share that you have, especially mm-hmm. when if it's women demographics or men, how mm-hmm. do we now share information and the intellectual that's out there. So, yeah.
So you were, I heard you and Sophia talking, and you said you were in the States for about 12 years.
Yeah.
How would you compare the situation in the States to the one in Africa in terms of women and business?
Ooh, I think coming back to Africa was one of the most the best decisions I ever made.
Okay.
Initially, I was kind of like worried and wanting to go back. But then once we got settled, I said one of the things that I noticed, number one, was Africans are they dare to dream. Mm-hmm. They yeah. will start anything. They'll sell tomatoes at the corner of the street, whether it's Maguinas or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I met these young, vibrant women, especially like, you know, in Zimbabwe, South Africa. They'll say, I'm starting a business. I'm starting an NGO. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Sophia. She's yeah. a young woman. Yeah. And I was thinking, what? You know, these women, they're scared of anything.
I started three on paper. Yeah. They never left the paper, though.
No, and also mentoring this young girl who's doing women girl coding, you know. Oh, right, so these are just like people were just saying, you know what, I've got an opportunity to go overseas, but I'm choosing to invest in Africa. So I yeah. think yeah. we underestimate the talent and also the bravery that's out there. And like you said, also we do have limitations as far as the African continent. We've got the African problems mm-hmm. and we do need African solutions and yeah. African talent. So let's tap into that, nurture it. And also with the digital age, that's why I love technology. Yeah. There are no borders when it comes to technology.
Ooh, yes. Yeah.
Excuse the pun.
That's right. And I also say dream with no borders, yeah. dream with no limitations, and you know what, the opportunities are endless.
Let's just let women run everything.
Yeah.
We're tired.
I swear to God.
Like we're really just tired.
Like, I don't mind
like,
being
like, honestly, like for me, I'm really that guy. I don't mind being at home. I can look after the kids. I can cook. I hustle very well on my phone.
Kamu actually does cook. You know, yeah.
So I do not need to leave the house. Let them run everything. They want to be president. Yes.
But I mean, and you notice from a young age, women become more responsible. Because I think because men, what we intend to do is please.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're pleasers. Mm. We're not thinking about, you know, 10, 20 years in the future. Like, hey, if I see a smile on my child today, I'm happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
The minute things run out, yes, I'll jump out. So women are okay with a half smile. They're like, but you went to bed full, right? It might have been vegetables, but you're good, right?
It was good, yeah.
I make $10, it's all going to bacon. And you notice it because you never see young boys selling tomatoes after school at the corners of any streets, whether it's in Lagos, Harare, you know, Jersey.
Yeah.
It's mainly the young girls. They come straight from school. Do you know how much empowerment that is?
You know,
in as much as people think that we're taking away from their time. No. What you're building entrepreneurs. Yeah. These girls and the dudes are just going to grow up and probably, you know, work for the women who are entrepreneurs or business women.
100%.
Mm. And it's really unfortunate.
I mean, I'm glad you actually mentioned the idea of guys actually like leaving school and not actually being able to do those type of things.
No.
But that's what we're supposed to be doing.
She quits
the whole day.
That's it.
You know? And your sister's one selling vegetables and whatnot. Then you're surprised that she gets the degree.
And she already knows how to handle money, fam.
Exactly.
Because that little purse is giving out change. She's handling money.
Yeah, like
you don't know how to handle money.
No, you don't. You know how to spend it.
You know how many times you get home, come home.
I know how to post some money.
And when you get home and you left with like maybe 2,000 and you don't really know how much because you don't check.
No.
Then you come to the morning, you're like, oh, maybe. But now she knows when 10 rand is missing.
But let's not underestimate the power of men in the women's lives. I think even though we've got all these women's initiatives, it's really not women against men.
Yeah.
If you think of it, a lot of like progression that has happened, it's been through men's sponsorships. Like when I was in corporate, it's really like men who said, Rebecca, we want you to excel in your career. And I'm betting on you. Mm-hmm. And then I had to step up my game and rise to the challenge because a man and a brother decided to believe in me.
Yes.
So I think at the end of the day, it's really collaborative as well. And the brothers, some of the brothers, like y'all, you know, the African story is that sometimes if you're the older one, you got a job, you're going to send your sister to school if your parents can't afford to do it.
Yeah.
So there's a huge part that the men and women are playing where it becomes giving them opportunities in business, coaching them, etc. So let's not leave our men behind. Let's
Thank
not leave our
much.
Brothers behind.
We have a positive feminist. We need to do a whole episode with Rebecca.
You know, I don't want to be the controversial one.
Go ahead, brother.
I have to ask, you know, because what I've always said to women who I feel I'm their business coach, because clearly they can have better opportunities than I can, is that how do you feel when you're in a situation that allows you to make money right? But doesn't allow men to make money anymore. I feel like we can't make money anymore in business. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. Because the guys, like you just mentioned now, mm-hmm. like there's guys that kind of had faith in her.
Mm-hmm.
They may have had faith in her more than just faith in her business. Because she's good looking. You understand what I'm saying?
Thank you very much.
And that's what's happening with a lot of young female entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. They're actually going into business and surging past us because they can wear skirts and bras and stuff. And we can.
Wait, come with you. Wait. I'm
just saying.
I mean, okay, I think that's a bit sexist.
No.
But that's a bit sexist. But I do agree with you that a lot of women are making it way bigger within you know, the business, you know, the realm of business.
This is it.
And the industry. But I don't think it's necessary. Okay, that there is a certain level of, you know. There is some, you know, there is a sexual connotation to it. Let's not.
Whatever got you in business cannot keep you in business.
Exactly.
So if you got there because of your good looks, etc.
And then you make it doesn't mean that.
You cannot stay in business that way because you don't have the brain.
But I was going to add on to that, Rebecca, and say, okay, that might be her entry point.
Yes.
The same way there are a lot of men who get into the industry because of homosexuality.
Especially
the film industry, right?
There you go.
And those are realities. Those are realities that a lot of people don't know about, but us within media know about.
Yeah, I understand that.
Which
very
is why
well.
We're not on 5FM or Metro FM. Thank you, Gareth, for not trying to take vendors over.
I was just saying because.
No, like, but come on, look.
Yeah.
It goes back to the point that we started before.
Yeah.
That women, once they're in because they have these initiatives where they actually learn about business.
Mm.
Now, if you holler at Kesha and you try and get me into business, I might get in. I might sound smart.
Yeah.
But it's not just about being smart when it comes to business, man.
No,
like, there's a whole lot more than just going to school and getting a degree.
No, yeah.
In fact, you're better off not going to school and not getting a degree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just learning from someone else.
100%.
But women have all of this. Like, they've gone through. The more the hardship, the more you learn.
No,
we haven't gone through hardship, so we haven't learned what they haven't had to learn. So, I mean, they're better equipped to run business. I think that's why they
succeed. You're terrible. I swear, you know what? If we had more men in here, the amount of slaps would have given you.
I'm sorry.
I swear, like, you've just rubbished us completely.
Like, I see it on a day-to-day basis. Like, I mean, fam, like, I don't even want to... Like,
but, you know,
I talk to my sister, like, what? You're having trouble with that? Like, why can't you get that? Because they're good.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, you've been messing around all your life.
But I understand the point Kamu mentioned. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is the reality.
Can't run away from it.
Yeah, but then I think as women, we also have to be a woman of dignity and be aware of the brand that you're selling to people as corporates and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're going to sell yourself off and not your actual brand, like your business, then you got the concept wrong.
100%.
And that is what we are actually helping women to, how to sell your brands to corporates, male or female, in a respectable way.
Yeah.
Because as Rebecca mentioned, that once you start, they will continue respecting the work that you have done from the get-go.
100%. Look, I mean, my statement was purely just to highlight the fact that...
Don't guard yourself now. Don't guard yourself.
No, not at all. Like, I swear, because this is something that I'm dealing with. Like,
no, but I mean, I like your honesty because, you know what, it's true.
It just happened to me 3 days ago. I mean, I went through 3 points of a bid, right? 3 points of a bid. First one, second one, third one. I am the best service provider for this particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I know why this woman won this.
Yeah.
And it's not like anybody hid it away from me. They told me straight. They're like, man, you need to start putting on more makeup.
Okay, yo, we've got Georgia Arnold waiting on the line right now. She's on Skype. Hold up. So can we have how people can contact Rebecca in terms of... Rebecca Talks?
Sure.
And any other type of work that you do, social media, your contact details?
Absolutely. So I'm on social media. You can follow me on Facebook. It's Rebecca Talks. And then on Instagram and on Twitter, it's Rebecca Cano. All right.
Lovely. Sophia?
Yes, for the event, for Own Your Crown, you can contact me. You can email us on info@ownyourcrown.org.
Mm-hmm.
You can also follow Infinity Magazine. We have an event page. You can just give us a shout if you need a ticket. The tickets are running out, so yeah.
Shout out to Infinity Magazine. They got our banner on their website,
that's
too.
Amazing.
Yes,
yeah,
I'm waiting for my paycheck.
Oh.
You see? Hold on.
Okay, so let's get Georgia on the line.
I'm here. I'm loving the conversation, by the way.
Oh, great.
Georgia, how you doing?
I am good. And by the way, I don't think women want to take over the world. We don't want to run everything. We just want to be equal. Yeah. That's what we've got to strive for. It's all about equality. It's not about ruling or beating men. It's just about being equal.
Georgia, is that how you're going to start the conversation?
That's your intro?
You had me listening to you guys. I was
Is that the intro? I mean, I'm like, how do we come back from that?
We apologize. Georgia, let me just introduce you real quick. So we have Georgia Arnold, who's the executive director of MTV Staying Alive.
Mm. Yeah.
And you guys are the ones running the MTV Sugar program that's, you know, that started off in Kenya, I think. That was 2009, 2011.
Yes, correct.
And
all good so far.
Yeah.
And much in Nigeria.
Feels like a lecture. And I actually attended the, Sophia as well, we actually attended the launch, the premiere of MTV Sugar Down South here in South Africa on Tuesday.
Yeah, which was amazing.
I saw the pictures. That's about it.
It was fun, wasn't amazing. It?
Yeah. So, Georgia, quick questions. I need to know, people don't align, I don't think MTV and think philanthropy. And I don't think anyone in this room had heard of MTV Staying Alive ever before. How did this concept, how did it start off? Like, what is the premise of MTV Staying Alive?
Okay, so MTV Staying Alive, first of all, we are a charity. We're not funded by MTV, but we're supported by them. So they pay for my salary, they give us office space, and they give us lots of airtime, which is great. But everything we do, we have to raise money for externally. But it came about because we started off producing documentaries on MTV called Staying Alive, and I have been at MTV for 23 years, so it's one of the first things that I did.
Wow.
And then I wrote... Have I got a long time?
No, you're good. You're good, Georgia. Don't worry about it. Go on.
Okay. This is how we started it. I wrote to Madiba's office. He was about to turn 85. And I said, our audience of MTV around the world, outside of Africa, don't know who Madiba is. They don't know his story. They know his name, but not really the history behind him. And I want to tell his story. And they said, yes, please. Can you do that? So I took four kids to meet him, and each of them told a bit of his life. So Henry from Uganda, who is HIV positive, whose family had been wiped out because of AIDS, sat down with him and said, how did you ever see the end of apartheid? Did you really ever believe you would see the end of apartheid? Because I'm fighting AIDS and I don't think I'll ever see the end of it and I want to give up. Then Min Zin from Burma, who lived in exile in Thailand, and they discussed living in exile. And Guy from Israel, whose sister had been killed by a suicide bomber, and Jumana from Palestine, whose father was killed by the Israeli army. And the two of them sat there with him and said, how did you ever shake the hand of your enemy? But when we looked at Henry and we saw some footage of him at home, and he lived in by the lakes in a corrugated shack, and he did his work by candlelight, we thought, what does Henry need to do more and to do better? And so what we realized that Henry needed was a little bit of money, because everybody does. Mm-hmm. He needed someone to trust him, and he needed some more training. Mm-hmm. And so that's when we set up Staying Alive as not just a content producer, but also a formal charity, a foundation. And we give out grants in the way that Henry inspired us to, by small amounts of money, and we train them and we trust them and give them the MTV logo to use. And today, by the way, Henry is alive and well. He's just had a baby. He lives in Canada, and he's the vice chairman of the MTV Staying Alive Foundation.
Amen.
So that's how we started. Yes.
Wow. I got goosebumps right now, man. Like, that's crazy. That is crazy. That is crazy. And I mean, it's unfortunate that I don't get it, but I mean, we're radio personalities, Kamu and I, and Sophia is very much into media as well. The surprising thing is that we've never heard about MTV Staying Alive
at all.
I watched season one of MTV Sugar, wasn't completely impressed.
Yeah.
Lupita hadn't won an Oscar yet, so I mean, I was like, okay. But when I watched Down South, you could tell the progression. I didn't watch the seasons in between, but from season one to season five, I mean, you could tell that, you know, there's a huge difference. How did MTV Sugar come about?
Okay, I totally agree with you, by the way, that we have learned every single series and we've got better and better and better. And by the way, Lupita, who knew she was going to win an Oscar? Like, I wish I'd signed some contract in blood with her. I've learned with all the new guys. But MTV Sugar really came about because we have the use of MTV, the brand. We work with them in really close partnership. And one of the great things about MTV is we have this audience of young people. So what do young people think about? They think about music and fashion and sport and sex a lot, even if they've never had sex, right?
Yeah,
so
I
am like this sort of this spy that can come in between all of the MTV programming and the music videos, and I can go, I've got this captive audience, how can I give them some really good messaging? And so we had been making documentaries for a long time, but what we realized was that people talked about the documentary maybe at the end of the night or the next day at school, mm-hmm. but it probably didn't change behavior. So MTV Sugar is this huge campaign, and it's a radio series as well. We produce graphic novels, we train up young people on the ground, digital and social media. So it's this massive campaign, but number one is that you want to watch it, right? Because the drama's really good. Mm-hmm. And I think the acting has got better and better as we've gone along.
You know what? Actually, speaking of which, like, even though the acting wasn't that good in the first series, I still finished it. Because I think it's things that I can relate to.
Yeah.
Right, and that's what we try and do. We try to reflect all of our lives up on screen. And hey, everyone makes mistakes, right?
Yeah.
And so this really is about, you know, the lives and loves of young people, their circles of friends, the circles of influences that they have. And then some people are really positive role models, like our character Ipaleng. You'll see as this series progresses, she is just driven by protecting her younger brother, and she is a child-headed household, but also her education, right? And despite all the temptation in her past, she never strayed. And that's amazing. Mm. But there's also some girls that we follow in this story, like Sulo, who ends up with a blesser. And she ends up with a blesser because, like many of us, we want good things that we can't necessarily afford to have or we don't have access to. And she wants a phone and some good clothes. And and so we follow her story and the mistakes that they make. And you know, none of us are perfect.
Yeah. Georgia, I wanted to ask, from a personal perspective, where are you from, Georgia? I'm assuming the UK.
I am. I was in Johannesburg. I got home yesterday morning to my 18-year-old boy, so I'm back in London in the UK.
Awesome. How have you had to deal, because the LGBT community, that's something that you guys were trying to tackle on MTV Sugar.
Yes.
How have you...
Definitely.
How have you experienced, or what were the obstacles that you experienced trying to tackle that on the series, looking at an African audience? I mean... And African tradition, well, so, social norms.
Yes, I have wanted to come to South Africa since we started in Kenya in 2009, because we can tackle some very strong storylines that, quite frankly, we can't tackle in Kenya and Nigeria. So the most obvious one is the LGBT storyline, because it is illegal in those countries to be gay. Mm-hmm. In South Africa, it's legal, which is great. Culturally, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's accepted. And, you know, quite frankly, even in the UK, there are lots of places outside the big cities where it is not acceptable to be gay, although it is certainly easier. So we really wanted to put this message across. Given Sturman, who's the actor who plays Reggie in this storyline, has been phenomenal to work with. We've worked really carefully on the script. This isn't about a passionate relationship. This is about a 15-year-old boy coming to terms himself with who he is. It really is about self-identity. And that's what we wanted to put across. And also, we wanted to be able to show, and I'm not giving away too much of a storyline, but how his friends and his family deal with it. And, you know, we've all got, like, I've got my really close gang of girlfriends, and you guys, I'm sure, have got your close gang of guy friends. And Reggie's guy friends, you know, have to really deal with the fact that this guy who they've grown up with and they've loved because he's one of the guys, suddenly he's different to them. And so that is a real challenge, to be able to put that across. Given that the actor has had training with a US NGO who works with the LGBT community on making sure that he uses the right words when he talks about playing a character who's gay, and also making sure that if a 15-year-old boy comes up to him in the street or on social media, he knows how to talk to them, how to give them the right advice, mainly which is to encourage them to go to ANOVA, which in South Africa is an NGO working with the LGBT community. But also we have given him training on, in case he's trolled, in case he gets any abuse on social media, he knows how to deal with it. So he's been absolutely amazing. The other thing I will say is that MTV Sugar, so we give it away for free. We don't make any profit from it. We give it away anywhere around the world to an individual, a community group, or other broadcasters. So MTV Sugar, although it's made here in South Africa, it is going to be broadcast to 720 million homes around the world, wow, including in Nigeria and Kenya and Tanzania and Uganda, all countries where it's illegal to be gay. So
Morocco?
What we have done, yes, indeed. But what we've done is we realized that most broadcasters in those countries would be unable to air this version.
Yeah.
So we've made a Pan-African version where Reggie's storyline is slightly different. It's much more about the antagonism between him and his father. His father really wants him to be this brilliant scientist and academic, and Reggie is this wonderful creative artist, and it's sort of the battle between them. And what we've done with all the broadcasters is say, look, we've made two versions of the show. We know that in some countries you may not be able to air one, you know, the version with Reggie being gay. So we want you to choose which one you want to air, because it's not for us to censor. But we also know that we have many important messages in Sugar, so we wanted to make sure it still got aired.
Thank you so much, Georgia. You actually preempted my last question. That was in regards to free airing. And I mean, Kamwe and I, when we came up with the concept of No Borders, it was all about creating dialogue amongst Africans. And I was telling Rebecca earlier that we all share in our problems as the continent, but unfortunately, we share the problems, but we don't share the solutions.
Yeah.
We try and deal with them as individuals, but it's beautiful to know that, you know, you guys are trying to reach out to each and every country within the continent, and, you know, we can finally have something to speak about as in a more communal setting as opposed to individual settings.
Yeah, and because MTV Sugar, the storylines are relatable wherever you are in the world. And you know what I found interesting? So this week when I was in Johannesburg, I know that there were some real problems. I think in Pretoria there were some riots around
xenophobia,
right? Thank you. But I was actually talking to my son at breakfast, because we were reading something about in the UK, we're coming out of Europe and everyone's very anti-refugees, and in the US everyone's anti-Mexicans, and in South Africa, you know, we're all anti everything, and No Borders is so important because,
applause.
Oh, it's so it's so important. I don't understand. Listen, I like to live in a little utopia. Why do we have borders? Why do we have to, you know, pay for important things like MTV Sugar? We give it away for free, and we absolutely fundamentally believe in that.
Thank you so much, Georgia. Thank you to MTV staying alive.
Yeah, thank you so much, Georgia.
Oh, it's a pleasure speaking to you guys.
Amen.
Great intro, by the way.
Yeah, the intro. That was
thank you.
I think that's when everybody actually started listening. Like, these dudes are in trouble.
This was a very serious conversation.
I didn't come in when you started talking about bras and skirts.
Oh,
I didn't know that one.
I guess you got that one.
Okay, we're gonna take a short commercial break. Thanks to Rebecca. Thank you to Sophia. Thank you to Georgia. Polly, it's you.
Lovely to talk to you.
Okay, cheers. Boom bap. Are we back? Yes, we are. Patterson, please, sort this microphone situation out. This is the last time. Yeah, we are live now. Live, meaning people are there now, not later. Anyway, we're back. No Borders, 1 to 2 p.m. every Friday. Every Friday, lunchtime fix, actually.
Yeah. I love how you say, like, you weren't there last week, so I'm like, oh, come on, has a way to say it.
Yeah,
it just didn't sound right.
You're like, no, it's a fix, man.
You know, I said, lunchtime, breakfast. Yeah. No, I don't know.
Tea break.
Something.
But it's good to be back, actually. Like,
really? Did he just say tea bag?
Tea break.
Oh, tea break. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay. We're uncensored and all, but hey, it's tea bag. Yo. In a room full of guys. We're having bad visions now, all of a sudden.
All right, so we've got a good friend of mine, Chikadi Wachan.
Yeah.
And he brought a guest with him. What I do know is, for the little background information, Chenge just came back from The Miz, from Zim.
Okay.
And the intention was today.
Yeah.
to file an application to the High Court, not the Constitutional Court, So apparently, according to our Constitution, in terms of what do you call them? Electoral. What do you call them?
Legislation?
Yeah.
No. Electoral reform.
Yes.
Okay.
Some of the reforms were supposed. One of the reforms was that the government was supposed to establish certain machinery within countries where they're. Not every country.
Yeah.
Was it every country that has an embassy?
So the deal is that people have the right to vote, but right now, if you live in the diaspora, you can't really exercise.
Yeah, but
that.
My point is, like, okay, that machinery, the machinery for the diaspora to vote was supposed to set up in countries with, I think this is according to the Constitution, I'm not too sure, you correct me, that in countries with a certain number of Zimbabweans in terms of percentages, or was it every country that has an embassy?
So no, the Constitution doesn't speak to that specifically.
And which is what I was going to ask you another question, but we'll speak about that a bit later.
Exactly.
So can you introduce your, or can your guest introduce himself?
Yeah, sure. My name is Kudama Njonjo. I'm also from the Zim, but I come here.
He was about to say from the Miss.
Yeah,
I was.
Because that's how we call it.
That's what he looks like.
Yeah, it's like the Miss.
That's what he looks
yeah,
just
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it looks like.
Because when I
saw him,
I'm like,
if you go with CJ now,
comrade.
Because I'm actually from Tajamuka, so Jikile.
No, my man, you need direction. So your dress code is good, because the last thing is it took me, man.
we had promised Mkwananzi, and who else do we have? I'm just going to then another dude here.
Yes. And I'm also with Viva Zimbabwe with AC. So we're all working together on getting this diaspora
vote
happening.
You guys are working together to get the country.
AC been quiet. AC been quiet for a minute. But anyway, so yeah. Chenge, I know Chenge is a law graduate and an activist. So Chenge, my first question is, okay, so the application, what's the basis of the application? Let's get the background for people who are not too aware of the intricacies of the legal situation in Zimbabwe.
So as you know, we are spread out across the world.
Yeah.
I mean, Zimbabwe, this is what it is, right?
No borders.
There you go, no borders. But just because we're spread out, does that mean that we can't, you know, influence the policies in our own country? No, not necessarily. The Constitution gives us the right to do those things, and so we should. We really should, you know?
Okay, sweet. And has any legislation, so this is going back to the question that I was going to ask you, in terms of, has any local legislation been enacted on the basis of what the Constitution says?
So, right.
Because then questions arise to say, are we going to open up, are we going to, you know, spend millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars on machinery in Czechoslovakia because there are two Zimbabweans? You know what I mean?
So,
I mean.
No. So, right now, the Electoral Act does not allow for that at all. It was amended just before, I think, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't establish that kind of machinery. And we're not saying that the government should spend all their money allowing people in Czechoslovakia.
Or Colombia,
the two Zimbabweans in Czechoslovakia.
Or Morocco.
Yeah, but you know, if
hold on.
Your home country. Okay.
My home country, Morocco.
But you know, if we have a place close by, so maybe even in a neighboring country where there is an embassy, people should have, you know, the ability to go there and participate.
So, for example, if, you know, if we're talking of the Gambia, then you're moving. People can at least move to Uganda or somewhere.
Yeah,
and vote
something to that effect. Something to that effect.
Okay, and the question is, like, why you guys? Like, I mean, none of, yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm like, why?
Why two law graduates, two virtually unknown individuals, why not have the political parties come into play? Like, what's going on?
So,
or are they just not smart enough to realize that most of the voting people who are going to change government in Zimbabwe
are outside the country? Yeah.
Well, look, as you know, I'm here in South Africa. I'm still continuing my studies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a victim. I would like to be able to participate in the process. So that's why me. That's why my name is on the application. And whoever wants to support, of course, come through, help us.
Yeah, but Chenge, you're not answering my question.
No, it's not.
Because you're, as an activist, you're definitely in touch. I mean, we've got a representative from Tajamuka. We've got a representative from also, Viva Party, AC Lumumba.
Yeah.
Why haven't you guys thought of this?
We have thought about this. That's why we're together. To explain this whole diaspora vote, we're not the first ones to think about this, to be honest. I remember MDC, they tried this in the 90s, then got chucked out.
Yeah.
What's important, the main difference now, we've got a new constitution, which clearly states that everyone has the right to vote.
A new constitution which was enacted in
2013.
And now, what, 4 years later we're talking about it?
4 years later, but the story. the story is, a lot of people, they're getting tired about the struggle, but it's now time for our generation to say, you know what, it's our mantle. We have to make this happen. Because think about it, in South Africa, there are about 1 million, 1.5 million Zimbabweans 1.5 million Zimbabweans.
There's way more than that.
Exactly. Quite a lot, you know. And no one is speaking for them. So it's up to us to not only launch the Constitutional Court application, there's going to be a petition that we're putting on an e-petition.
And instead of today, it's going to go out. It's good that applications will be filed on Monday.
On Monday. Exactly. Cool. And we're going to really push for this.
Do you guys think you have enough time, considering that elections are in 18 months?
Yep.
That's obviously a factor, so we're working on a schedule.
So would you be pushing to have elections postponed, like DRC?
No, not at all. We'd rather be pushing the Zimbabwean Electoral Commission to make things happen now, right? That's what we want. Okay. We want them to, you know, push the ball forward and let's do this.
Exactly. You know? You look at Zim right now, they haven't even started the registration process. There's nothing stopping them from just coming to Joburg. They make people start registering. It's all about political will and having the legal basis to make it happen.
Kamu, you know what my biggest problem is with political parties in Zim?
No.
Their focus is on Robert. Robert isn't the issue. That dude is in Singapore somewhere getting a lung fixed. Yeah, like getting a transplant of some sort. I mean, that's not the issue. The issue is the actual instruments that are on the ground.
Yeah.
Because what we have determined is that Bob will be there until he dies.
And that's
but then when he does pass away, rest in peace, he is an African revolutionary. Rest in peace. And props to him for that, as opposed to everything that happened afterwards. But once that situation does come about, are there instruments in place to then effect actual change? And that's what a lot of political parties should be focusing on.
Sure.
So instead of going out and talking, Mugabe this, Mugabe that, why don't you go to the actual, you know, the centers where you can be changing things in the meantime?
Yeah,
and that's what's not being done. And kudos to you, Mchengeti, for at least pushing one of the agendas. Because how many Zimbabweans outside the country? 3.5? Between 5.5, 3 and 5 million.
A lot.
Yeah.
Right outside of our borders. And all willing to vote.
Yeah.
You know, all capable to vote.
Eligible to vote.
Eligible to vote, yeah.
So our whole thing is we don't want this to be a partisan thing, right? We have rights.
That's what they always say. In the beginning, that's what they say.
So the example I'll give you is, I don't know if anybody's been following what's been happening with the Brexit.
Brexit.
The applicants to the courts in the UK actually voted, not Gina Miller, the less prominent applicant, actually voted for Brexit, right? But despite that, he launched an application for the correct processes to be followed.
Yeah.
So that's all we want. We want this document to be a living document. The constitution that we have should be a living document. We need to use it, right, and enforce it. Otherwise, it's just paper. And all of that effort to leading up to 2013 is goes to nothing.
No, you went to school for a reason, my friend.
Yeah. No, 100%.
You concluded the conversation. No, but I had one more question. The judicial system in Zimbabwe, we have seen a lot of change.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of, you know, judgments that have come over like, oh, what? Really? These niggas won?
Yeah.
Wow. Do you guys think that you're willing to file this application because you are looking forward to a positive result?
Yes, we are, of course, but we're pragmatic. We will study the history of this matter and the way it's proceeded through the courts. And look, if it doesn't go our way, we still think it's a success. We have tried,
yeah.
And that's what's important to us.
And then continuing to, I mean, look at Mutumwa Mawere and I know Chafazwa Rolf Mugabe did the dual citizen
case.
And that was based on the new constitution, and they won.
Exactly. And
so now, and a lot of Zimbabweans all over the world, I hope you're listening, you do have the right to have dual citizenship in our country now.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Guys, we got other guests, and it's been a jam-packed show. Thank you so much, Mchengeti Watcha, and
Kuda Manjonjo.
Kuda Manjonjo, thank
we
you so much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate you guys. We got XQ in the building. XQ, you want to come through, fam?
Sure. Somebody?
Thank you.
It's crazy, man.
It actually is very, very crazy.
Like an hour doesn't go. Should we get a 2-hour show?
I think we should get a 3-hour show. That's what we need. We actually need a total 3 hours.
Get out of here, though.
We actually need a total 3 hours.
And Edward and a bottle of whiskey?
Brandy is more your taste. No Borders right now, 1 to 2 p.m. We're about to close out the show. We've got Boomers International in the building. We've got Rumi Mudenge. How you doing, Rumi?
I'm good. It's Bumri.
Oh, why do you guys call it Bumri?
I mean,
it's
Kamu, at this stage, you should know how to say it more than anyone. It's Bumri International.
I like the way it comes out like Bumri's. Because it was boom.
Boom.
He's got his old Bumri's. He's got his old British accent.
I can hear it. No, it's Bumri's International, and it's such a pleasure to be here. It's an honor to be here. Thank you guys for inviting us.
CliffCentral.com.
It's so important to have a very short period.
It's so lovely to see two Zimbabweans representing Zimbabwe.
Excuse, sit down.
No, I don't want to sit down.
He's exquisite. Mr. Pudding.
I want to be like my man.
You already know, man.
Yeah, man.
Mr. Bachelor in the building. Okay, yeah. We're going to quickly go into the two shows that are happening. We've got a massive show happening tonight in Pretoria at House 28. Uh-huh. And we've got another one happening tomorrow at NYC in Four Ways.
Give us
a little bit more information about that, how people can get through, you know.
Sure. So tonight at House 28 in Pretoria, there is going to be the exquisite Mr. Purere,
yep,
representing all the way from Zimbabwe. There's Dadza D, Charji.
Yep.
There's Munaz, Jerio, Danda for Danda, who's over here.
Who is fire, by the way.
You know, dynamite, I'm telling you. So they're going to be at House 28 tonight. It's 100 Rand. Please, everyone come and support. Everyone come through. It's going to be an awesome show.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, we're going to be at New York Club The Truth in Four Ways. That's going to be a Jar Seed, our beautiful Jar Seed from Bongo Muffin.
Yeah.
Talkie Vibes is flying in for the show.
Tonight,
Exquisite.
Oh, wait, Talkie Vibes coming through?
Talkie Vibes.
Isn't that Storm coming through?
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
I was going to come through. No.
Talkie got you.
No. I mean, X Stunner, Rocky. I've been with these dudes, man. Yeah, I mean,
we grew up together.
You know? Yeah.
So, one of those. So I mean, like, oh, yeah, okay, cut it. Dog, I'm not coming to Victoria for you, dog.
I come to Four Ways.
Yeah, so it's going to be Jassy, Toki Vibes, Exquisite, Dadza D, Munaz, and a whole bunch of awesome DJs. It's going to be off the chain. It's going to be amazing. Bring Zimbabwe.
What's new, music-wise?
Yeah, man, I've got
videos. The videos are looking a bit better now.
Yeah.
Shut up.
No, but he started with some good videos. I remember as a kid, because we were in the hood in Waterfalls.
Waterfalls,
you know, they used to come through and hang with Rocky and them.
Yeah.
I remember when Mazirudo came out. And I think that was one of the best videos. Shot that in Mozambique.
In Mozambique.
So that was pretty dope. So what's new in the music industry for you?
Already, I've got three videos. Done already, so I'm just waiting to release. But hopefully, I should be next week. I'm dropping the first one with Nadi O called "Let's Talk About It."
Okay,
and then April, another one with Freeman, and then the month after, another one Rocky and
Snap. Okay,
so yeah.
So can we get the music first though? We can drop it debut? Because we debut all the music.
I got you. I've got the music. I'll give you.
He's like a pioneer. He's the first Zim artist I've ever seen.
And still alive, dog.
With his name on it.
I'm alive.
And he's still alive in the industry. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Because, I mean, this is a very fickle industry.
Yeah.
People who actually only survive are us.
Yeah,
the radio personality.
Yeah.
Because we never actually become famous.
No.
We just take whoever's famous at that point in time. We take whoever's famous at that point in time and help them make us famous.
That's it.
So we never die. But I mean, like, for you to be around, I mean, it's close to 20 years now.
It's crazy. I'm starting to feel like, man, it's too old for me.
Hey, what's up with the beef back home, though? Like, you know, what's going on? You got beef with anybody?
No. A lot of things are happening back home, bro.
It's not my home. I'm from Morocco.
Apparently he's from Morocco now. Yeah.
I'm from Morocco now.
I'm actually going to try
and get the ambassador of Morocco here. For real.
And say what?
Get an honorary citizenship or something.
I just don't know how he's going to feel about it. Why are you calling me?
Dog, I'll have the Quran right here. I'll be dressed, you know, like. I hope he's not listening right now.
I really hope he isn't.
All right, so what brought this about? We got around that.
Bumrees International. So my entertainment company is called Bumrees Entertainment, and I'm doing the launch of Bumrees International with the South African tour.
Yeah.
Bumrees International is dedicated to supporting all African music and all music from around the world, and all artists including. All forms of arts, yeah.
Sweet. We just got one last person on the mic. What's up, fam? Introduce
Munaz.
Yourself.
What's up?
We got a little 10 seconds. Munaz.
10 seconds.
Yeah.
Munaz G. Jerry to the bone, the one who did Danda after Danda, your Dan was here, Bumrees Entertainment to the world.
Yeah, man.
Yes, I.
Feels great.
And you're performing this weekend. You're with the whole team.
Yeah, man.
What's the genre?
The genre right now, dancehall.
Dancehall
reggae.
Real
dancehall.
It's going to be lit.
Yeah, we got to round out. Hey, no borders, kisscentral.com, your boy Kamu, your boy KF.
Don't drink and drive, please.
Yeah, and log in. Don't tune in. We log in. It's online radio. It's the future. Log in next Friday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. You already know.
Space.
Bye. CliffCentral.com.